Good morning again. That song brings back memories to me. When I was a young boy, my dad pastored churches in Weakley County, and all. We grew up thinking it was normal to drive for an hour to church. But anyhow, there was an older gentleman and his wife who used to sing that song. You remember that, Mom? Vester Wright and his wife, Flora. They would sing that, especially around Christmas, but they'd sing it throughout the year. Beautiful Star of Bethlehem. I'm glad for the good memories I have about being brought up in church, and I also have good memories about Christmas. That was a special time for the country people, and the smell of the cedar tree in the church, especially on Christmas night. We stayed one Sunday at a church. It was Christmas, and it snowed, come a big snow, and we went ahead and stayed because they had that Christmas program going on, and all the mainly farmers in that community. It was a big deal, you know, for the church to have their Christmas, and we made it home. It was a treacherous journey, but we made it home. Lots of good memories. I do welcome you here today, and those who are watching and those who are listening, we're glad to have you along. Next Sunday will be Christmas Eve, and we certainly look forward to being with you on Christmas Eve and worshiping the Lord on Christmas Eve Sunday. I'm going to be reading from the Gospel according to St. Luke today in chapter 1. And today I'm going to be speaking about the announcement. And in this scripture today, God sends the angel Gabriel to make it a very important announcement to a young girl by the name of Mary. And that announcement was made to her. And then after the birth, the angel announced that the birth had already taken place to the shepherds. God's announcements are also promises. Did you know that? He always follows through with His announcement. And as Christians today, we have announcements to make too. One very important one, and that is that Jesus saves. Amen? Jesus saves. Let's look at this story today, and it's it is an incredible story when you think about this event. The angel Gabriel sent to announce something to Mary, the birth of the Savior. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 35. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her, and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Wow, what an announcement to an unsuspecting young woman here. Think about that. Verses 32, 31, 2, and 3 is the announcement. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, Savior. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. What an announcement. What an incredible story. What an announcement. What an announcement. Think about this announcement. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you for sending the Savior, dear Lord, to save us from our sins. Thank you for this season when we pay special emphasis upon the birth of our Savior. We pray, dear Lord, that your people would be blessed and renewed in the faith, and that others will be drawn to like faith as we have because of the emphasis upon this event. Lord, we pray that you would bless the word, those who are watching and listening, those who are here, and we pray if there be any who are unbelievers, that today they might come to the knowledge of the truth, and that is that Jesus is Lord. We pray for the sick, the suffering, comfort those who have lost their loved ones, especially during this season. Father, get honor and glory from thy word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. An announcement is, here it is God making a formal statement, declaration. You know, something is about to happen. This statement is a promise. It's going to happen. The birth of a Savior, which is, what an incredible announcement. What a story. We read 2,000 years later, what a story this is. Who would believe such a thing? Amen? Think about the Virgin Mary, and as she's confronted by the angel with this announcement, this statement that you, above all the women on the planet who have ever existed, you have been chosen among all women to bear the Lord Christ. You think about her faithfulness here. Such overwhelming news and a statement from an angel Gabriel here. And certainly Mary, with no foreknowledge or good understanding about this event, even whatever happened. It wasn't something that was really taught in her upbringing, in her religious faith. Because the Jews themselves didn't really understand. They knew the prophecy that God would raise up one day. They looked for the Messiah, but they certainly wasn't expecting it to happen like this. There's no indication that we would suspect that Mary thought that this could ever happen or it was coming. And okay, you're telling me something that I knew was coming. But it's all new, all overwhelming. If you talk about too much information, and yet She begs not for too much of an explanation, other than I don't really understand how this could be possible and all, but with no demand to show me and give me some proof and all this, but just a simple explanation here, and she is satisfied and submits herself to the Lord, to God's announcement that He has there, that the Savior is going to be born. It was believed and practiced among the Jews that they did believe in the Messiah one day. And of course, they was expecting Him to be another King David, one who would ascend and bring the monarchy back to Israel in its glory days and conquer the enemies around them and give them some security and peace, be a political leader, economic leader to bring, restore the greatness and the glory days of the kingdom. That's something that's in people, you know. We talk about the good old days. We long for the good old days. The Jews were no different. They thought about the days of David that they had been taught about when the nation was strong, secure, prosperous. And for a while, during the reign of Solomon, all of that was taken away when the Babylonians marched upon Judah and destroyed the kingdom. The northern kingdom had already been overrun by the Assyrian Empire. That fell apart. But the great temple itself was completely demolished and destroyed when the Babylonians ransacked Jerusalem, carried them away captive into Babylon for 70 years, and they all talked about the good old days, the glory days, the glory days. That pattern of thinking went on with the Jews many years. They had some hope that one day the Messiah, the Deliverer, would come, but they had not a clue that God Himself would choose to come and dwell among them. Here's the incredible thing about it. And Mary submits to it. Submits to it. How am I going to have a child and I've not known a man? That'll be God's business. That'll be God's business. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And she doesn't beg for a lot more explanation. Yeah, but hey, how do I know this is true? Can you give me some details? Can you explain it to where I can understand it a little better? But pretty much submits herself as being the handmaid of the Lord. Think about the birth of a Savior, the Deliverer that you have heard from your forefathers, that God promised in the Word of God down through the ages that one day He would raise up a prophet likened to Moses, and him people would listen to. There are other prophecies throughout the Word of God about this Messiah, this King that would be coming one day and to restore the Davidic kingdom again, and the good old days would come again. Those Jews who spent 70 years in Babylon never gave up hope. And finally they got commissioned to go back and to rebuild the temple under Cyrus. They went back and they rebuilt the temple, and that was quite an undertaking. And when they laid the foundation, you know, it took a while to rebuild Solomon's great temple. But during the building of that temple, some of the people, they were relieved and happy and glad and shouting and praising God. And then there was this older group of people who were sad. These older people, and they couldn't understand it. We don't understand. There's a mixture of emotions here. Some people are happy and glad, and we've started to build a temple, but yet these others over here, it is cause for them to weep, and they're struggling with it a little. And the thing was that those older people, they knew that it would never be the same. That's tough when you come to that part in life. They knew that no matter how much they put into this temple, it could never achieve the glory that it had in the days of Solomon. Do you know why they felt that way and believed it? And they're somewhat accurate about it. Because a very important part of that temple would not be there. And that was the Ark of the Covenant, which the Babylonians, it disappears. When the Babylonians destroyed the temple, the Ark of the Covenant, it's gone. I don't know where it is. John the Revelator seen it in heaven. But anyhow, it has disappeared. And so no matter how they fixed that temple, and the Bible says in New Testament times that Herod the Great spent 46 years in a program to rebuild and refurbish the temple. The temple that's rebuilt, not Solomon's temple. It was destroyed. And it was made very beautiful and extended the courtyards and the people done the worship outdoors. And it was beautiful, but it didn't have the Ark of the Covenant. So those older people who had remembered the temple in the days of Solomon, they knew that behind the Holy of Holies, beneath the outstretched wings of the cherubim, the mercy seat there, what was there? The presence of God Almighty in the midst. God didn't live in the box. In the box was the Ten Commandments. And at one time, the golden pot of manna and Aaron's rod that budded. But the presence of God Almighty would be in the form of a mist between the outstretched wings of the cherubim, those golden cherubim, the golden top on the ark is the mercy seat, the lid. And the presence of God Almighty was there. So no matter how magnificent they built the new temple back, and the disciples said, behold, what precious buildings and stones here and all this. There was something missing there. The old people knew it. They believed that the presence of God would not be back there. But they're going to be wrong. They're going to be proven wrong by this announcement here. That's what I want you to see. You see, Isaiah had prophesied many years ago, Isaiah 7 and 14, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign, and behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. And Matthew says, which means God among us, God with us. God Himself is going to come and be with you. They couldn't really understand that part of that. They couldn't understand it. Solomon, when he dedicated the great temple, and he's credited as being the wisest man, isn't he? When Solomon dedicates the temple, and he understands that the presence of God in the form of the mist is on top of the mercy seat between the outstretched wings of the cherubims facing each other. The high priest alone can go back there one time a year, and he has to go through a series of cleansings and all. Only he can go back there. Anybody else would be struck dead. The presence of God Almighty was there. Solomon was a wise man, and he's, as he dedicates the temple, and he's thinking about, well, the presence of God, we built a house for God here. David was forbidden, although David secured the materials. But we're talking about a house for God, the house of God. And he says these words here in 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 18. Solomon said this as he's building the house for God, the great temple. He asked the question, but will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? How's this going to work? How's this going to work? Behold, the heavens and heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house which I have built. And so Solomon, he's admitting this house can't contain God, but will he one day dwell among men? But will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? The concept that they struggle with down through the years, and when the angel shares with Mary, she doesn't struggle with it too much. She just, I don't understand how this is going to happen. I haven't been with a man. The angel explains to her. She pretty much says, so be it, the handmaiden of the Lord. What an incredible story. This hadn't been written out that it's going to happen this way. Think about the concept of God becoming a man and dwelling among men. Wow, what an incredible story. And Solomon was really wrong there. You know, he questioned that, but the elders were wrong. They thought, well, this temple, since the Ark of the Covenant is gone, the presence of God is not going to be here like it was. You know, listen, they were so wrong. When Jesus Christ walked into the temple, oh, people, the presence of God was there. When his parents brought him to the dedication, when he came there as a 12-year-old boy and talked with the doctors of law, when he preached the gospel and graced the great temple courts and taught the people, when he walked through there, blessed the people, that was God in the temple. They were so wrong. They thought they had it figured out, and that the Messiah would just be born as a normal man somehow after the seed of David, rise up politically and militarily and seize the kingdom and restore the greatness. And many of them miss the greatness of Jesus. You think about the religious leaders, men who made it a business to study the scriptures, and they knew some scripture. When Herod demanded of the leaders where the new king would be born, they finally deducted and said in Bethlehem. They were right. They were right. But Jesus stood before them, and they did not recognize him. because they didn't expect it to be that way. They didn't think it didn't fit their thoughts of how things were going to happen. This can't be. They didn't think spiritual thoughts and look beyond their fleshly thoughts. Mary, after the one question here, submits to the Lord. The religious leaders and many of our Lord's people refused to do that. They didn't see the kingdom of God in the person of Jesus Christ. Oh, the elders who cried at the thoughts of the building of the new temple because they said it'll never be what it was, were so wrong. For one day, Jesus walked in the courts of that great temple, and God in very deed did come to dwell among men. That's what the Christmas story is about. That's what this announcement is all about. What an incredible story. How is this possible? You know, people today thinking with the fleshly thought of the mind, that's an incredible story. How could that be? Mary's question, how could that be? There in verse number 37. The angel says, when we're talking about spiritual things, when we're talking about Jesus is the Lord, when we're talking about God coming to dwell among men in the person of Jesus Christ, the most unique person who ever walked this earth was Jesus. He was part man, humanity, and he was God in flesh. I can't explain that fully to you. The Gnostics of the first century said, well, Jesus was just a spirit, you know. He didn't really feel pain. And they said he doesn't cast a shadow and he's really a ghost appearing to be a man and all this. They rejected the humanity of Christ. Be it far from us that we would ever suggest such a doctrine, you know. Because he is both man and he is both God. He is divine. He felt the pains, the sorrows. God came to dwell among us to bear our own burdens, to understand, to feel your pain. Tempted in all points as we, the Bible says, yet without sin. He lived the life. He knows his heart. He knows the ebb and flows of life. Disappointments, heartbreaks, all of those things. Jesus felt pain. He was not a spirit that the Gnostics cast about in their false doctrine. But he bled, felt pain, suffered. All of those things Jesus experienced. He was God in flesh. What an incredible story. How is this possible? Mary asked that question. The angel explained it to her. And here's, you know, people today, well, you tell them this story. How would that be possible? How would that be possible? Well, here's the deal. And Mary was able to accept that. And if you're going to be saved from your sins, you're going to have to accept the same thing. You're not going to be able to figure it out on your own. You're not going to be able to scientifically prove this and give you the proof that the fleshly man wants to have. You won't make it that way. You're going to have to listen to the Word of God. Mary listened to the angel. And the angel said, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Well, how can that be? It be. When when the mind of flesh questions the things of God, well, I can't see how that would be. The angel says, you're going to bring forth a son. The Holy Ghost is going to overshadow you, and you're going to bear the Lord Christ. How would that be? The things that are impossible to men are possible to God. With God, nothing will be impossible. I don't see how this could take place. With God, nothing is impossible. When Jesus walked and preached the gospel, taught his disciples, and they took them for 3 years to catch on some things. They didn't catch on until after he was crucified and rose again. They just didn't get it. Jesus was constantly teaching them teaching points. And they're trying to figure things out about who can be saved and all. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 27, he reminded them and us, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Well, I don't see how that could be true. I don't see how that could work out. I've had people to tell me stuff. I don't see how this or that could have been possible in the Bible. Oh, you don't see? The things that are impossible with men are possible with God. That was enough of an answer for Mary. But it's not enough of an answer for a lot of people today. And they'll die in their sins until they come to the part of accepting the things of God. Mary, upon the angel telling her, with God, nothing will be impossible. How could this be? The angel says, it'll be. It'll be. Nothing's impossible with God. Mary's response is, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Wow. What an example. Oh, that we could be more like Mary and submit ourselves today and what? Just believe God. You see, that's the thing about God chooses people to work with who will what? Believe Him. What is it about Abraham that God chooses a man in Mesopotamia that He's going to reveal Himself unto? What was the characteristic that Abraham, why did God choose Abraham? Because he is a man who God can work with. You know, the kind of people God can work with, those who will believe Him. He will obey me. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Just simple faith. Just do what I tell you to do. Those who don't learn that rule, you know, don't go very far in the things of God. The first law of the universe is obedience. Just believe the Lord, you know. And so the angel Gabriel makes this, what an astonishing announcement to this young Jewish girl. Hey, by the way, you're highly favored and God has chosen you for a mission. And that mission is you're going to bear the Lord's Christ, the Son of God. And of His kingdom there will be no end. Whoa. Too much information for us. No. She said, well, I don't really understand that. With God, all things are possible. So be it. Behold the handmaiden of the Lord. Such trust. Just trust. What an incredible announcement. Next Sunday, Lord willing, we'll be able to share with you the fulfillment of that announcement. God's announcements are promises. And He always keeps His promises. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and call his name Jesus, he will be a real person. He's going to be divine, and he's going to be flesh. He's going to be God, and he's going to be a man. God is indeed going to dwell among men in the person of Jesus Christ. What a story. He'll be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. He is eternal. The Lordship of Jesus is eternal. What an announcement. What an incredible story. Well, church, we have things to announce too. We have a formal statement. God here is making a formal statement. As the Church of Jesus Christ, we have a formal statement to make to people, and that is that Jesus saves. Jesus is Lord, and we are to be telling people about this. God has told us it is our calling to share the gospel. God's announcements are promises to those who will believe that announcement. Christ has come. That's the Christmas story. What he come for? To bring us salvation. To bring us deliverance. To save us from our sins. He has come. I hope that everybody here today and everybody listening to me has come to terms and believed this message of hope. Broken world out there. We saw some broken people. Listen. We have hope to offer people. Because Jesus has come. There is hope. There is hope. And we are to be announcing to people who are downcast and broken, hey, there is hope for you. There's hope in Jesus' name. There's one more formal announcement, by the way, that God is going to be making. And this one will be quickly. It'll be swiftly. God made a great announcement there with the angel Gabriel, the birth of the Savior. When the Christ child was born, God made another great announcement. He has been born. And he led the shepherds to witness the event. We are to be about announcing to people that Jesus saves. There is hope in this dark, broken world still. There is hope for you. Real hope. Real hope. One of these days, God has another big announcement to make that people are not aware of, not too interested in. But there is another announcement. St. Paul says it best in 1 Corinthians 15 and 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. One of these days, you know, people say Gabriel's going to blow his trumpet. One of these days, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised, and we shall be changed. God, this next announcement's going to be quick and swift. So we want to be ready for this announcement. Because there won't be time to get ready. It'll be swift. It'll be quickly. I'm going to ask Brother Jack to come and we're going to close. The Christmas story is about the birth of our Savior who has come to save us. He has come. God made that announcement and he fulfilled it. Kept his promise. The Lord Jesus was born in humble settings. Walked this earth for about 33 years. Preached the gospel for 3 years. Died on the cross. In 3 days he rose from the dead. And after 40 days he ascended back to heaven, where he is now, today, at the right hand of God Almighty to make intercessions for you. That's an incredible story, isn't it? And you say, prove it to me. Prove it to me. The things with God, all things are possible. Let's stand together and sing. If you have a need, if you're at home watching, you have a spiritual need, you've not yet been unconvinced that Jesus was the Savior, I want to challenge you. Can you accept the things of God and to believe that it be? And quit demanding a radical, rational explanation of all things and trying to figure it out. But through faith, see this Savior who wants to save you. Shall we sing?
Number 248.